Hey guys, it's Jamise, and I'm back with another episode of the Letting Go of Perfectionism podcast. I had a revelation after recording the last episode where I was talking about the importance of focusing on the I, the me, and the my instead of the they, the them, and the their when it comes to work satisfaction and things going on with work. And if you have a crazy boss or if things at work are a bit chaotic, and you feel it's time to move on, identifying ways to find gratitude within that. And so one of the things I'm probably most grateful for is the opportunity I've had to work in different industries and learn information that is broadly applicable and beneficial to me, the companies I work for, the clients I serve, but also the community with which I come from. I was thinking about a community member who had a birthday recently, and who, when I saw them last year, mentioned to me they had some goals that they were pursuing. And so I definitely want to check in with them and hear how those goals and the pursuit of them are going. But I often find myself in the work that I do thinking about the goals that the community that I serve have, and the skills we each have and that we gain from our workplaces. And many of us want to become entrepreneurs. We are entrepreneurs. We plan to become entrepreneurs. Some of us are 9-to-5 employees. Some of us are entrepreneurs, meaning we're in 9-to-5 jobs, but we're operating as if we are already entrepreneurs. We're thinking that way. We're hiring coaches that way. We're, firing our bosses and our managers and navigating career changes, and we're delegating tasks, and we're learning skills, and we're using new tools. And there's just all these ways in which we're operating in our entrepreneurial bags already. One thing I wanted to get on here and talk about was the three ways that entrepreneurs, the three things they can do to increase their confidence in their financial decisions. So when I would travel and deliver financial education presentations to 9-to-5 employees who had access to 401k plans, there were three main things that I would leave them with. And so I'm going to leave those three things with you here today, too. I vividly remember typically the presentations I did would last anywhere between 30 minutes, 45 minutes, with a 15 or 30 minute Q&A for a total time together of 1 hour. But I will never forget, there was a set of folks who I was scheduled to present to, and their schedules did not permit them to spend that length of time with me. And so I was in a bit of a crunch, and I was challenged with and tasked with boiling down to three main points. If I only had 3 seconds to tell you everything you needed to know, or if I could only tell you three things that you needed to make sure you paid attention to and did after leaving this hour-long presentation, what would those three things be? And so through the years in that job and, working through the talk tracks and the scripts and the content that I was teaching and being trained on and mentored on, it really boiled down to these three things. It was how much you were saving, what you were investing in, and whether or not your beneficiaries have been designated. Now, often I would start with number three, which is beneficiaries, because that typically was a quick and easy fix. That's something that, without regard to how much you're saving or how your money is being invested, when you have an account and you've created one online, you can always use your username and your password to log in and access your beneficiary information. By default, there's not one listed, so you have to always add one. So whether you're logging in online to do it, or you're calling into the person or the institution that administers your 401k plan, getting that beneficiary added was always a very important thing, but it was also a quick hit thing. Didn't take a lot of as much maybe time and effort as saving and investing would, since saving requires your money and you to make decisions around that. And investing requires you maybe tackling a topic you're less familiar with, because a lot of us are familiar with beneficiaries when we think about other accounts and policies we have, whether that's a life insurance policy, whether that's a checking account or a bank account or a savings account. Those accounts also require or have the option to add beneficiaries, and it's important to add one so that in the event that anything happens to you, those assets have a place to go to, and they can go to the people you've chosen and your loved ones. And also, your loved ones don't have to put in so much effort trying to either prove that those assets should come to them or split who they should go to, and just administrative things that come along once someone has passed away. And so, although saving, investing, and beneficiaries are the three things, and that's typically the order I would present it in, I just want to caveat it by saying bang out the beneficiary thing because it's more of a quick, simple, easy thing that doesn't require as much explanation just due to your pre-existing familiarity with what a beneficiary is. Now, is it possible that someone is not familiar with what a beneficiary is? Of course. So what can we do? We can Google what is a beneficiary, because the power of this podcast and the information I'm sharing is that now you go from a lack of awareness to an awareness, even if you don't fully understand. So you can further increase your understanding because you have something to look up and research further. Whereas if you didn't know what a beneficiary was, and you didn't know that a beneficiary mattered, and you didn't know that beneficiary is something that you should be paying attention to, then you wouldn't know to Google beneficiary. And in the sea of information that you search and you ask, well, what's most important and what should I pay attention to? In the sea of information and the world wide web and the internet, you often get lost in what all those options are. And especially if you have a blog post that's coming up and that's content that's been generated by a certain company or a certain product, that information is often skewed to providing you with value and information in order to get you to take some type of action or purchase some type of product. And so now you have what you can consider a more neutral party sharing with you information that's educational and that you can take with you to do additional learning and research on in the event that there is some type of foundational knowledge that's lacking for you, like what is a beneficiary, right? So that's beneficiaries. Let's start from the top. Savings. So, again, this is me using the scenario of this person is pressed for time. The presentation is usually an hour, but they are working at a pizza shop, let's say, in the back, and they are responsible for cooking that food. And so they got to come out, listen to me for 5 minutes, and then get back to what they were doing because their schedules and the way the company they work for is set up. It's just not going to allow for them to be away from their work for more than 5 minutes. So, with savings, you want to be saving at least 12 to 15% of your paycheck. And so, when you think about this 12 to 15%, keep in mind that that number does include the company match amount. So, if your company, let's say, has a 4% match, meaning they match you 100% dollar for dollar. For every dollar you put in, up to 4% of your paycheck. So if you put in 1%, they put in 1. You put in 2, they put in 2. You put in 3, they put in 3. You put in 4, they put in 4. You put in 5, they're just doing 4. So you can put in 6, they're still doing 4. You can put in 7, they're still doing 4. But when you total that out, you're 7 and they're 4, that's 11. So if I'm saying that 12 to 15 is the minimum suggested amount that you should be saving, in this scenario, you'd at least need to be putting in your 8% so that when you get that 4% match dollar for dollar on your contribution, which is considered a 100% match up to 4%, then that's placing you at that total of 12%. Now, note that I said 12 to 15% is the minimum. So when you think about saving for retirement and when you think about having enough money saved up when you reach retirement to be able to live off of, oftentimes 12 to 15% as a rule of thumb, is considered a minimum amount. And depending on your retirement goals, 12 to 15% may not be enough to help you to reach your goals. So when you think about two different retirement scenarios, you have one scenario where someone may want to do a lot of traveling. Maybe someone wants to buy a yacht. Maybe someone wants to spend exorbitant amounts of money on fancy dinners. And then you have someone else who, in retirement, they plan to chill out, do some gardening, relax, spend time with family, stay local, not travel. And who knows, maybe they did a lot of traveling when they were younger and while they were working, or maybe that's just the choice they make, because the people who still want to travel in retirement, maybe they traveled when they were younger too. But I'm just painting two extremely different pictures around what in a retirement lifestyle could look like, especially as it relates to how much that lifestyle will cost you. Buying a yacht versus chilling at the house with your grandkids. And so the 12 to 15% amount may be able to suffice someone who is just chilling out with their kids, but there are actually calculator tools that can be used to project out into the future and like simulate. Stop. And simulate how much you have, because then we start getting into a conversation around your retirement income sources and how you can have multiple sources like the 401k, like Social Security, like your IRA, etc. But the key takeaway here is if you are not saving any money for retirement and you want to set a goal for yourself to begin saving, saving a minimum of 12 to 15% and working your way up to that is a goal. And keeping in mind that that does include the company match amount. Now, some 401k plans do have features that allow you to get an automatic increase, allow you to automatically increase how much you're saving each year. So let's say you start saving 1%, and next year you want it to automatically increase you to 3% because you know that you're going to get a pay raise. That is a feature that is available in some retirement plans that you can turn on for yourself. Couple notes on where you can get started saving. Now, I mentioned 1% just as an illustration, but going back to our original scenario of a 4% company match, if your company is offering a 4% match, you're going to want to at least save 4% at a minimum so that you can maximize that retirement benefit. In my last episode, I talk about how you can have benefits and not use them. Well, having a 401k plan that has a match and then you not participate in the plan, or you participate in the plan, but you don't participate in a way that allows you to get the full match, that is you not taking advantage of the benefit. That is not you receiving the benefit of you working there. And that is you leaving money on the table as an employee who is exchanging your time and your talents in exchange for money. And that money that comes from your 401k match is a part of your total compensation money. Those are dollars that get saved, get invested, that grow. And if you work for a company that did not offer a 401k plan, that would be money that you would be saving out of your own pocket that is now being made available to you by an employer. And so 12 to 15% is the minimum goal amount, making sure you're at least taking advantage of the full company match amount. And then recognizing that 12 to 15% is the minimum and that you can save more than that. And I'll add that when you think about the maximum amount you can save for retirement, you have this minimum as a guideline, but then you have the maximum that the IRS allows. So any given year, the IRS will say this is the maximum amount that you can put in. So that's another thing that you could be searching to build your knowledge around. So if you looked up max 401k contribution 2024, it will show what the max is. So this year, 2024, is saying that it's $23,000 and that it's up from a previous year's $22,500, right? And this is specifically referring to people who tend to listen to my podcast. So you guys are under the age of 55 and a half. So we don't have to get into conversations around catch-up contributions just yet, just because that is not relevant to this audience. So for our sake and our purposes, the limit for 2024 is 23,000. One other thing I'll throw in there too is that the well, no, that's for IRAs, and we're not going to talk about IRAs today. We're talking about the 401k. I'll come back and record another episode about mistakes that people make, 9-to-5ers who want to be entrepreneurs make when it comes to retirement plan participation and choosing not to participate. I have another episode for that. But continuing with the savings, 12-to-15% minimum. It includes your company match. There's a maximum amount the IRS allows you to put in. This year, 2024, is 23,000. And so, based upon how much you make a year and what percent you contribute, that will show you how long it will take you to max out and if it is even financially possible for you to max out given your current salary and your other financial obligations. One final note before we move on from saving is that the company match amount does not count toward the IRS max contribution. So when we say that the max amount you can put in is 23,000, we mean that the max amount you can put in is 23,000. So the money that goes in from your employer, that comes in on top of your 23,000 in a scenario where you're maxing out your 401k. So that's saving. Next, with investing. For investing, the key is to make sure that you invest appropriately for your goals. And so I'm not going to do too much of a deep dive on investing. In a previous episode, I talked about how when someone wants to write a book or if somebody wants to become an entrepreneur, you have to have money saved in order to invest it. You have to have words on a page in order to edit them. And so I think the most important thing and the key thing right now is to make sure that you're saving. Many 401k plans have options in them for employers to help employees allocate their investments appropriately for their age and for how far away from retirement they are. This is often referred to as your risk tolerance, which really means how much stock should you have based upon how close or how far away from the goal that you want to achieve. So to be close to a goal is to mean I need that money today, tomorrow, next month, next week. I need it to pay rent. These are instances in which we're not putting money in a stock investment because we want and need that money in the short term. And so when we look at the stock market, it moves, it fluctuates, and that is expected. The one thing that's not predictable is when it's going to move, how it's going to move, but the one thing that's guaranteed is its movement. And so when we think about that movement, it goes up, it goes down. But when we zoom out and we look over the long term, it has trended up, meaning it's returned a positive number. I like to use the stocks app, and they let you see the 1 year, the 10 year, the 20 year of like a broad market index like S&P 500, for instance. And The line zigzags, but if you drew a through line, you would be, like I said, trending up in a positive direction, meaning a positive number, meaning a return greater than zero. And yeah, I know that there's not a lot of great education out there around investing in stocks and bonds, in a way that's simplistic and in a way that really builds upon knowledge that folks already have, just because the investing and stock investing can feel so abstract, especially for 9-to-5ers and 9-to-5ers who want to become entrepreneurs and folks who haven't worked in financial service industry roles or studied and taken different financial designation exams. And so I'll just bring it back to saving 12-15%, investing appropriately for your goals, and making sure that you designate your beneficiaries. Those are the three things that every 9-to-5er who is interested in becoming an entrepreneur can do to increase their confidence around their financial situation and just the way that they're stewarding and managing the benefits that they have access to now, where they are at. And so I hope this is helpful, and I look forward to coming back for future episodes. Catch you later. Bye.